thank those who came before me in scripture, prayer, and song. It's always a great pleasure to stand before this congregation here at Kent Church of Christ. You have been there for me from day one through prayers and sickness and so much. I'm very well thankful that I have the opportunity to always speak before you, thus saith the Lord. God has blessed me tremendously this year, and this title tonight is self-denial. It's something that I believe that we as believers and non-believers suffers with, denying ourselves. Let's go to the word in prayer, Lord in prayer. Father, again, we thank you so much for your love and for your grace. We thank you for your mercy, Lord. Tonight, dear Lord Jesus, I pray that I would decrease and you would increase. Pray tonight, Father, that a word would touch a heart tonight and ask, what must I do to be saved? If there's one here tonight, Father, who is struggling with issues, Lord, that it can come forth and have the congregation and the elders pray for them, Father, to move into the right direction. We thank you so much for all that you do. We ask this prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Then he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Tonight's lesson, again, is self-denial. The challenge we all face as individuals is dying to self. In layman's terms, dying to self is being born again. The old self dies, and the new self comes to life. Allow me to give you my testimony real briefly. In 1988, I was introduced to the Lord. I wasn't in the body of Christ at that time. I was just introduced to the Lord. I had a lot of extracurricular activities in my life because of the choices that I made. I come from a great moral family. My father was military/realtor. My mother was 30 years as a school teacher. But because of the choices that I made, I indulged into the world system. I had no self-denial. I began to start doing things that was contrary to what I was taught at home. Again, I wasn't in the body of Christ at that time. I didn't come into the body of Christ until October the 2nd, 2008. And even after that, I still had challenges of life that came my way because of the choices that I made. One day I was driving in 1990 after attending the church for close to a year. And one day I decided I wasn't going to go to church anymore. So I was driving in my new car with my extracurricular activities at that time. Just read between the lines with that. And I looked over at the church and I saw some members that I knew, and they were outside the building. And I looked over there and I said to myself, see, I don't have to be there. I have a pocket full of money. I have a new car. I have gold around my neck. Why do I need to be there? I don't have to serve God to have these things. That's very sad to say that, but that was my mind. That's the way I was thinking. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone wants to be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I'd heard of that scripture. I read that scripture. But actually, did I actually believe in that scripture? No. Because for 15 years after that came out of my mouth in 1990, I lived a lifestyle that is unbelievable. 15 years of traveling from state to state, city to city, one homeless shelter after another, programs, all because of the choice that I made, not wanting to deny myself. The biblical perspective of self-denial is completely opposite of what the world has to offer. God's view of self-denial gives us a purpose to conform to the image of Christ. The renewing of the mind. Romans chapter 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It doesn't say the renewed mind. It speaks on the renewing of the mind. The renewing of the mind starts when you have made a decision to follow Christ. It begins also with when you have made the decision to get baptized in Christ. But for some, we believe it stops right there. And I'm telling you, it does not stop there. Once you have made a decision to follow Christ, once you have made a decision to get baptized into Christ, you are now in Christ, and you have the obligation as a believer to constantly have the renewing of your mind. That means it's an ongoing occurrence, a new way of thinking, a transformation of your minds of being Christ-like. You're obligated as a believer. You're obligated to be kind, to be gentle, joyful, having peace, long-suffering, being good, and faithfulness. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 24. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 24, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. For those who made a decision to follow Christ, you have crucified the flesh with its passions and self-desires. Those who have renewed their minds, no longer themselves, because you have made the pathway in the decision to follow Christ, you have now denied yourself. What profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? And what should a man give in exchange for his soul? For your soul. What are you willing to give in exchange for your soul? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14, speaks on the natural man. Well, Brother Melvin, what is the natural man? The natural man is a selfish person. The natural man is a worldly person. The natural man is an individual who has the cares of this world all for themselves. And the natural man is an unsaved individual. But the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. In other words, he does not understand the value of knowing God. The natural person doesn't know the value of knowing God. When I made that decision in 1990 to drive past the church members outside of the building, and I made that decision and said, look, I don't need to serve God to have money in my pocket. I don't need to serve God to have this gold around my neck. My extracurricular activities is going to lead me down the pathway of righteousness. I'm being facetious when I say that. But little did I know that I was going to lose my wife, my children, my home, my job, my family, my friends. I mean, when I say friends, I'm talking about for those who were in the Lord, who cared for me. Little did I know that after 3.5 years of my extracurricular activities, when I became my best customer, within 3 months, I lost everything. All because I was not willing to deny myself. A correct view of knowing who you are in Christ is knowing God. A correct view of knowing Christ is knowing God. In Romans chapter 1, verses 20, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes has eternal power in divine nature has been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so they are without excuse." See, there's no excuse. And for those who call themselves to be non-believers of God and we don't believe in Christ and we can do this and we can do that, listen, the Bible says you are without excuse because God is living. Jesus Christ is Lord. And even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. But they became fertile. In other words, they had a pointless measure of life. And their perspective and their foolish heart was darkened. The natural man, foolish heart was darkened because he chose not to know God. Is there anyone here tonight who's having a hard time of wanting to know God? It's okay. You're standing before someone, you're sitting before someone right now who's standing, who understands that. The natural man cannot know God based on his or her own knowledge or strength. You cannot know God on your own strength and on your own knowledge. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says, "My people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge." That's the purpose of the scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God will be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." That's the purpose of the scriptures. You cannot go on your own knowledge. And you cannot go on your own strength if you don't know God. We have the complete manual, the Bible itself. We must consider the natural man doesn't know the correct pathway of coming in the body of Christ, in living in Christ. The natural man does not know the pathway of knowing God, and does not know the pathway of righteousness. Doesn't know the pathway of also living in Christ. We as believers have the obligation to teach the gospel. What is the gospel? The death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. Of Jesus Christ, our Lord. The natural man is not aware of the self centeredness, which leads to tempting negative thoughts, negative words, and negative actions, which is the end result of total separation of God. Negative thoughts, negative actions, and negative words, which is the end result of separation from God. What profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? And what should a man give in exchange for his soul? My question tonight, what are you willing to give up for your soul? What are you willing to give up for your soul? In Matthew chapter 4, Satan tempts Jesus with thoughts, negative thoughts, negative words and negative actions. The same way that Satan tempts us, and Jesus being the prime example of how we ought to live our lives, he demonstrated that in Matthew chapter 4 through God's word. Turn to me, with me, to Matthew chapter 4. And I'm starting at verse 3. Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. Now, Jesus is totally opposite of the natural man. He says here, Scripture says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, and the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. And Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Satan is tempting Jesus with negative thoughts. See, Jesus knew the expectations of his Father. He also knew the word, and Jesus also knew his purpose. In John chapter 14, verses 1, why did Jesus know these things? Because he is the word who became flesh. And Jesus came back and responded and said, it is written, man should not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Romans chapter 6, verse 12 through 13 says, it is written to do what is right. Use your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Using your members, your body, as instruments of righteousness unto God. In verse 6, verse 5, then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written, you should not put the Lord your God to a test. It is written not to fall into temptation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There has no temptation taken me such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way for you to escape. So we are without excuse. God says, you will be tempted, those who are in Christ. You will be tempted. You will be tested. But God has made a way to escape that we be able to bear it. Jesus knew the word. In verse 9, verse 8, again, the devil took him into a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Negative action. It is written to serve God and God alone. God has a plan, and that's through his Son, Jesus Christ. Then Jesus said to him, go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him alone. Jesus knew his purpose. What profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? And what should a man give in exchange for his soul? Each time Jesus said it is written, he's confirming the word through God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 18. For it is not he who commends himself, praises himself, that is approved, but he whom the Lord commends. See, you can't praise yourself. See, that's God's approval right there. God does the praising. You can't praise yourself. You can thank yourself, but when it comes down to serving God, God does the praising. According to the natural man, The world's wisdom, poor self-imaging, excuse me, according to the natural man, the world's wisdom is poor self-imaging. Low self-esteem exists through the world's statement. You must love yourself first before you are able to love others. The world says you must love yourself first before you are able to love others. The world says love yourself. And God also says love yourself too. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 39, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, both of these words have two different definitions. They're spelled the same, L-O-V-E, but they have two different definitions. The worldly love is self-pleasure. Worldly love is conditional. What are you willing to do so I can feel better? What are you willing to do so I can look better? And what are you willing to do so I can do better? When will this self-pleasure make me feel better? And if this thing makes me feel better, I'm willing to, what are you willing to do? That's the selfish aspect of it. It's conditional. If you can make me feel better, if you can make me do better, if you can make me look better, and if this thing, the process of feeling better, I'm willing to do something for it. Conditional. Conditional love is worldly. But God's love is unconditional. Caring about the soul without any motive. Perfect example, John 3:16, verses 17. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Unconditional. God was willing to give his Son, knowing that there was going to be individuals who's going to reject his Son still. He gave his only begotten Son. Unconditional love. You make the choice tonight. What choice do you make? Conditional love or unconditional love? The natural man's type of love, which is conditional. And unconditional love is God's love. Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 9, verse 38. I love it. Scripture that I noticed some several years ago, and it made a lot of sense. And it's really something, if you really look at it, Romans chapter 9, verse 38. And when you have made the decision to follow Christ, it's unconditional. And Paul says, for I am convinced. I like the King James Version. It says, I'm persuaded. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I am persuaded. Are you persuaded tonight? That's deep. That's deep. He says, for I am convinced that nothing can separate me from the love of God. Why is he convinced? Because he understood the unconditional love that Christ, God Almighty, has done for us. Has our minds been renewed that we can understand that too? The solution with dealing with self. What is the solution for dealing with self? Luke chapter 9. Verses 23. Luke chapter 9, verses 23. the solution for dealing, denying self. And he said, was saying to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whatever is ashamed of me, for whoever is ashamed of me, in my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I say to you truthfully, there are some of those standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. The solution of denying yourself. What profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? And what should a man, a person, an individual, give in exchange for his soul? Solomon understood that. Later in life, in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, we see that Solomon talked about, I did this and I did that and I did this and I and I. And the Bible says he realized later that his spirit was being vexed and there was no profit under the sun. Years later in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Solomon says he knows the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Tonight, my question is, do you know your duty? What is your duty? If you're in Christ, you have a duty. You have a command. And that's to tell those about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not only that, you have a command to live your life as a Christian. Unconditional. No matter what goes on in your life. Because you're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulations. They're going to come. But because you have trials and you have tribulations, you don't add to it. Because you live in the world system that definitely wants to have and constantly show you negative thoughts, negative words, and negative actions. This is why we should not, the forsaking of our assembling ourselves together. God talks about it in Hebrews, coming together on the first day of the week, and any other time throughout the weekday. We have a mission. For those who are not in Christ, you have a mission too. Your mission is to know Christ. In Acts chapter 2, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven. And they heard the gospel message, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ on this day. And in verse 37, the Bible says they were pricked in their hearts when Peter asked, and they asked, what must we do to be saved? And Peter said, you must repent, be baptized in Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And on that day, 3,000 souls got saved because they made the decision to follow Christ. Is there one here tonight who doesn't know Christ as their Savior? Because you're allowing the world, the cares of this world, to direct you on the wrong pathway. And that pathway is damnation. But if there's one here tonight who does know Christ, and you're struggling, and it's not bad to struggle. It's a sin if you stay in the struggle. But it's not bad to struggle. Apostle Paul struggled. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He says, what I don't want to do, I find myself doing. And what I should do, I find myself not doing. If there's one here tonight, you heard the message. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow Christ. Don't go down the pathway of unrighteousness. Go down the pathway of righteousness. Let's come together. Let's pray for one another. I am. I don't want to put myself on a pedestal here, but you could look at me tonight. What you see tonight is what God has done. It's what God has done because I allow him to do it. Because I have actually denied myself, and I struggle still with that. I live in this world. Lamentations chapter 3 talks about it very clearly. What you see can affect your heart. I live in this world, and I see a lot of things at times that I shouldn't see, and it affects my heart. But I make the choice daily, 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 daily. If I can rely on the Lord to stop my extracurricular activities and stay on the pathway of righteousness. And if God can do it for me, 15 years, people, of traveling from state to state, to city, from shelters, homelessness, seeing things. If God can do it for me, he has no respect of persons. He can do it for anyone who's struggling in that manner. Doesn't matter. No respect of persons. And it all started October 2nd, 2008, when I came into the body of Christ. People who showed nothing but love, and the same love that I had in North Carolina was the same love that was here. You corrected me when I was wrong. You pray for me when I was wrong. You pray for me when I'm doing right. You give me praise when I'm doing right, and I appreciate that. Nobody but God. Nobody but God. Father, again, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you again, Father, for all that you do, Lord. We pray that this word goes out to touch someone's heart, to move into the right direction. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.